Well, it's nice to be here again. It's been a while. I don't know what this is. And we have a request for prayer for Olivia and her health and school. Well, let's just have a little prayer here. Father, we're grateful for this family, Meredith and Van Leer, and Olivia, their daughter, is needing some help here with schooling and health, and there's been a lot of pain recently in Florida, and we have pain here too, and we just ask that you have a special Sabbath blessing for this dear girl, and use her in the future to hasten the gospel to all the world. Yes. So your son can come back in honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this little study of mine, I'm a teacher, not a preacher, started at Pelican Bay State Prison. And we've gotten a lot of level twos that we never had before. And they weren't excited in being moved here to the Pelican because most of our inmates come from the Los Angeles area or the San Francisco area, and they're so far from home, they don't get many family visits. And it rains a lot up here. And trying to play basketball out in the yard in your slickers and whatnot, they weren't too happy. So we've been having chapel service for them. And about 2 weeks ago, I got up to study and I said, I want to ask the question. And I want an honest answer. It's nothing about me or you. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. First, do you think it's easier to be lost than saved? And then, you only vote once, is it easier to be saved than lost? And the hands went up. And I counted about 15. It's easier to be lost. But there were a couple easier to be saved than said, you know, we're sinners, that's our habit, and on and on and on. And I said, wait a minute, we'll go in the Bible and we'll get an answer. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because you know the answer. I'm not going to embarrass you. So the first, by the way, I've got a handout. I started that because I'm teaching and the yard gets in a fight and everybody has to leave and I've only gone halfway. Here's the rest of it. They got plenty of time to read and look at television and so forth. And the same could happen here. If you fall asleep, that's my fault, but you can read it. And if you want to go to sleep, that's a good time to read it, you know. You can get a blessing from it. So I said, Jesus said, and I'm going to go quickly here, but all the verses and everything, they're in the handout. Jesus in Matthew 11, in the scripture reading, he says, come to me, and I'll give you rest unto your souls. That's salvation. Physical rest is great, but salvation is having rest for our souls. And then he says, my burden, anything I'll expect you to do, is easy. So we had the word easy. And then the other verses, they also had a word that would go with them. And what did I do with it? Ay, ay, ay. Ay, 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 ay. This is the handout. Well, those are my notes. Ha ha. Let's see if they're in here. No? Okay. Well, they weren't too long. Then we went to Revelation. By the way, The Trinity all worked together in saving sinners. Jesus says it's easy, just come to me. The Holy Spirit in Revelation 22 says, come and drink the water of life freely. It's free. It isn't anything much easier than free. So it's free and it's also easy. And then we have Paul writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15, as a child, you understood the scriptures to salvation. If a child can understand it, it's simple. You don't have to have a PhD. It's simple. Children can understand it. So it's fair, it's easy, it's simple, and it's fair. God's grace was given to everybody. Titus 2:11. Jesus, John 1:9, gave light, truth to everybody. And the Father gives a measure of faith, enough faith to believe there's a God, He loves us. So the whole Trinity are working, and then to the thief on the cross, everybody's making fun of Jesus. They believe the Messiah could not die. That was their Messiah, and would conquer Rome and rule the world. And Jesus said, love your enemies. They didn't want to hear it. So even both of those criminals, they were professional hired killers. They were making fun, but as the day went on, here's the cross, the thief over here, they call him a thief, he did that too. He told his buddy, shut up. You and I get what we deserve. And there's going to be a judgment day, and you better think about it. Amen. And Jesus is hearing the only good words he heard were this criminal. And then he couldn't point. He just turned his head, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Did he ask to be saved? No. He just said, remember me. He knew he was rotten. He was getting what he deserved. Just remember me. But he called him Lord, God, God's Son. When thou comest into thy kingdom, you are the Messiah. You're dying, I'm dying, but I know you are the Messiah. And Jesus said, you're saved. You'll be with me in paradise. Now that's fast. If being saved takes hours or day, you may not have even minutes left. Amen. It's got to be fast. So in the thief on the cross, we get that it is very fast. In fact, he just said 9 words. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I'm going to say those 9 words and see how long it takes. Now remember, he's in pain, right? Yes. He's hurting. He's been flogged. Moving his chest or anything doesn't come easy. So he'll be talking a little slower and in great pain. Well, I'm not in great pain, so that's going to be hard to... Okay, here we go. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. 7 seconds. That's pretty fast, isn't it? Now, if you want to shorten it, when Peter was walking on the water, he showed he had great faith to get in a storm out of the boat and walk on water. I've seen paintings of it. The ocean looks like an ice rink. No waves, nothing. And he's walking to Jesus, and then something happened. Either he looked back to make sure his buddies were watching him, or on a wave, you have a crest and you have a trough. So he's down in the trough, and Jesus is down in the trough, and all he sees is the wave and the wind, and all he said was, and he's scared, "Lord, save me!" That's 2 seconds. It doesn't take long to be saved. Amen. So when I went through those, and I said, look, you've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also gives us faith, as a gift and as a fruit. It's in both lists. It's the only one. Love is in one and this and that, but faith is in the gifts of the Spirit and in the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. So if over here we've got the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and 2/3 of the angels, and what do we got over here? We got Lucifer and 1/3 of the angels. Who's got the winning side? He outnumbers them. He outsmarts them. He outknows them. But to level the field, we will not be forced to be saved. And to even it up, the devil can lie. You can get away with a lot of lies. He got away with a lot of lies. But he can't tempt us more than we can bear. So it's almost an even thing. It all depends on our decision, our will, our free will. Amen. So, but right away, hand up. They got to raise their hands if they want to talk in my Bible class. Lou, you forgot. Jesus said, the narrow way to heaven, and few find it. I said, well, let's turn to that one and see what we can handle there. The narrow way to heaven, and there's not too many that make it. I just made it. Okay. I said, the key words here are few that find it. That's what you're telling me. That's right. Few are going to find that narrow way, and they'll be saved. I said, that's a good work. We're not saved by good works.
No, we are not.
Oh. But I said, let me give you some texts. And so the texts I rattled off to them, because I was going to bring this up, and I had an idea that I would get into that little argument there. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus said, if one is lost, I will find the lost sheep. That's a promise. Devil doesn't have to find him. He's already got them. Do the lost sheep find the narrow way? They got to be found. If they got to be found, they're lost. If they can find the narrow way and get back, they're not lost. Jesus, Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and find that which was lost.
Amen.
So it's up to Christ to find us. But there are a few that find Jesus, and he doesn't go after them. And I've got several examples. Nicodemus is a good example. He knew where Jesus was. When did he go see him?
At night.
At night. He didn't want anybody else knowing. He's a Pharisee. Everybody respects him. So he doesn't let anybody else know he's going, and Jesus was alone, and he is troubled with this salvation bit. And Jesus went right to it. You want to be saved? You got to be born again. Oh, then he got a little huffy. You mean I got to go back into mama and come out? And Jesus said, you know the scriptures, and you don't know about the new birth and the new heart? He kind of put him down, and then he gave him John 3:16. That was given personally to Nicodemus. God loves the world. He gave, that's a gift, his son. If you believe, faith, you have eternal life. Amen. We are saved before we're baptized, because that's a good work. It's done in public so other people can see. Once we get a new heart, which is easy, it's a gift, then the battle begins. Justification is being saved, born again, the new birth, redemption, and then the battle for your rest of your life. And we've got the armor of God, we got the Holy Spirit, and it's an up and downer. You say one, two. You say two words to get married. I do. It's easy, it's quick, it's fast. May not be fair to the person that didn't marry the person, but it's okay. Try to get a divorce. Even being married is simple, quick, fast, and everything depends on the engagement. But living the married life, it has, you know, it's a roller coaster. But you're still saved. Even after we're baptized, if we're sinned, we're still saved. We're promised if you confess your sin, God will forgive it. How many times? Peter thought, the Jews said, if someone does bad to you, they get three strikes and you never forgive them. He upped it to 7. He's going to be magnificent. You know what Jesus told him? How many times? 70 times 7. I don't know that times table. He didn't know it. If you had to have a book, people's name on it, and you had to keep track of what they did for 490 times for each one, impossible. You forgive. And God forgives us. But if we don't forgive others and have mercy, it comes back on us. So anyway, I gave them an example of how it's easier to be saved. And I got others. A man possessed with a legion of devils. Roman legion went from 4,000 to 8,000, depending on the emperor and how much money he had. Let's just put it at 5,000. 5,000 demons in one person. That man, they couldn't chain him. He just busted him. They didn't want him in the jail because he could bend the bars and curse people. They let him go. He lived in a graveyard, a cheap graveyard. He's up in the mountain. You try to dig in the mountain, see how deep a grave you can dig. The good graves, nice, lots of soil. You can put them down, but he was in the hills. He ripped all his clothes off. This is what the devil makes him do. He grabs sharp stones and slashes himself. He's bleeding all over. And he's crying and weeping. And he sees a boat come. And while he may not have known Jesus personally, he knew about him. So when Jesus got out, he knew that's Jesus. And he cast out devils, and 5,000 demons couldn't stop him. He ran down that hill, bloody, naked, screaming for help. And Jesus cast out the devil. Now, what was easier for him to do? Live up in the mountains? Tear off of his clothes, slash himself all the time, scream and whatnot, or to run down to Jesus? It doesn't take. We have so many stories that show how salvation is easy. And when we make it hard, that's what the devil wants us to do. And all he has to do is switch justification, sanctification. We're saved first. Get the new heart, then the battle begins. No, 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 no. You got to be real good. You got to stop doing that. And then you get the new heart. Talk about salvation by works. And it doesn't work. So I went over that with them, and they said, yeah, there's a few that find Jesus. there were the Greeks that came to the temple, said, we would see Jesus. They didn't go to Jesus. They went to Philip. And Philip said, well, I don't know, Jesus wants to see these Greeks who became Jews. So he goes to Andrew. And Andrew says, well, I don't know either. So they both went to Jesus and told him, and Jesus saw those Greeks. They came. Jesus didn't go to them. Well, then they had the second text, and I knew that was coming up. And it said, the gate is, no, a Jew came to Jesus, and he came right to the main thing. Master, are few saved? Are few saved? That's not finding the narrow path. Are few saved? And Jesus said, you better work hard to get into the straight gate. Many will try and won't be able. So what are you going to do with that verse? Well, when you study the Bible, you need context. The verses before, the verses after, the verses related somewhere else. Who asked the question? A Jew. What did they believe about salvation? Only the Jews are saved. The Gentiles are lost unless they convert over and get circumcised and become a Jew. He was really saying, are few Jews saved? Basically, that's what he asked. And Jesus had to be very honest with them. And he had previously. Before, he told his disciples, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. He's talking about Gentiles. Amen. He said, they're all going to come together and be one. Then he was meeting with his disciples, and he said, and he was speaking to the Jews, really. He said, the kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to a nation bearing fruit. That's in Matthew. So the Jews aren't going to be in the kingdom. If they crucified Christ as a false Messiah, they were in for trouble. He's warning them. And then in Luke, he said, you will see Abraham in the kingdom. And you will see people there from the north, south, east, and west, Gentile, and you're not saved. You're a false Messiah. They wouldn't listen to him. It is true. Today, not many Jews are Christian. It is true throughout history that many, not many, but individually, they can be saved, but not because they're still God's chosen people. And will rebuild the temple and start offering animal sacrifices. Some have that in their prophecy. It's not going to happen. But individually, Jews can be saved. Saul is a great example. He's going to Damascus to arrest Christians, take them back to Jerusalem, have a trial, execute them. He had nothing about seeing going to Jesus in his, but Jesus came down and talked to him, and he became a Christian. Jesus had to come down to save Saul, and Saul spent about 3 years in Arabia being taught the gospel. Amen. And he said, I didn't become an apostle by the church. Christ made me an apostle. I didn't learn the gospel from Peter, James, or John. I learned it straight from Jesus. So God has a plan. Amen. And it's to save the most people he can, but he won't force us. Amen. Just a little knock on the door. But the devil, he just kicks the door in and barges right in and takes over. And that's easier than what the Lord does. Finally, we go to Romans 6:23. You know what it says. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. What's easier to handle, earning a wage or receiving a free gift? There's no argument. And you get text after text, but people think, man, I got to stop doing this. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And I don't do that. And they make salvation, and that's what the devil wants them to think. Right. It's free. It's simple. It's fast. It's fair. And I left out one. Anyway, there are five conditions they have to meet. Now, there is a verse in the Bible you don't hear too many sermons on. It's in Mark, where Jesus said, if you come to me and you have to give up things, you will receive in this life 100 more, and then he named possessions and this and that. A Christian life is better than a sinful life 100 times. Well, it's got to be easy. I got the little note from Loma Linda, and they gave another report, and they keep track. Who are you? What do you eat and whatnot? Adventists live longer than any other group of people in the United States. Why? Yeah, it's the diet that we're veggies. And a lot of people are becoming veggies. They're probably more non-Adventist veggies now than there are, you know, Seventh-day Adventists. It's healthy. Is being healthy easier than being sick? I mean, what are we talking about? But the second thing is we keep the Ten Commandments. Amen. And in the fourth commandment, we rest one day a week. And that's just not physical, social, it's spiritual. Amen. I'm in Oregon now, but I know a lot of Oregon history. The wagon trains coming to Oregon were farmers that wanted to have nice land, and you didn't get droughts. And so they were coming to have a good life. The ones that cut off to California, they wanted gold. They just wanted to get rich, and they were mainly young guys, not married. Other guys were bringing family. Mostly, they used oxen. Horses couldn't eat the prairie grass. You had to feed them, but they were fast. Mules could eat the prairie grass, and a lot of it was in prairie, but they were mean. The cheapest animal were oxen. Two oxen could do what four mules or four horses could do, but they were slow. But they were gentle. Oxen. So one train, before they went, they figured out who's going to be their leader and all of this. And they're going, and here it is Saturday night. And then in the morning, they get up at sunrise and get ready to go. And the guy in charge says, hey, get ready. No, this is the Sabbath. Well, Sunday keepers, they call it Sabbath. We rest. You can't rest. If we don't get in there, the snow will hit us, and you'll be like that group that didn't make it and turned into cannibals. No, we're going to serve the Lord. So they were way behind. And after a few days, weeks, they were way behind. Another wagon train catches up with them. Oh, join us, numbers of safety. And they go till it's Sunday, and they stop, and they can't believe it. But because the animals rested, and they rested, they began catching up. And they passed that second wagon train, and they got past the first one before the toughest mountains they went over weren't the Sierra Nevada. That's California. It was the Blue Mountains. And the snow could get you there. And so they got faster to Oregon because they rested. Well, the others tried to copy them, but by that time, their animals were pretty well done in. And less accidents, less breaking of things. So we live longer because we get our Sabbath rest. Now, there's a second command that gives us longer life. You know what it is. What is it? You honor your parents that your days may be long. We get a double longer life. Salvation is easier. No one will be able to say, Lord, I didn't have a chance. You had lots of chances. But it was so hard. No, it was so easy. So how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Amen. We just didn't have time for them. And as the days go on, it's going to get a little tougher and tougher. We know the closing prophecies. But stay with the Lord. You can be saved. God loves you. And if you read carefully, when he told the sheep, he says, I was hungry, I was sick, I needed clothing, you visit me in prison, and he praised them. And the honest one said, Lord, we never saw you. They lived before Christ came. We never heard of you. They're honest to say, we don't deserve this. He said, you did it to the least servant of mine. You did it to me. They were surprised. There's going to be two surprises during the judgment. Those who think they shouldn't be there, but they are and happy. And those who think they should be there, they're the goats. Amen. Because they thought they earned it. We keep the Sabbath because we love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. It's as simple as that. So keep justification simple, you're saved. In sanctuary, there's a battle. Get the armor on, do what the scriptures say, and everything will be okay because we are examples to others. If we're saved and our life is a little different and longer and happier, it will influence other people. That's why we baptize out in the open. Amen. It's official that way. So I'll have on the table as you go out, I'll have a stack of these if you're interested in getting into this deeper. But now it's time for our closing song and benediction, and it's praising Jesus for what he did.
Amen.
What he did. Okay.
Turn in your hymnals to number 249, Praise Him, Praise Him, and please stand. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious, power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's getting old. I'm going to ask you to do something, two things, and I'll have a question for you. The first one, we do it quite often. I want you, when I say go, and I'll count to five, and then I'll have you do something else, and I'll count to five. I want you to frown. You're not happy. I want you to frown. I'm going to frown, too. You can see my face. I can't see nothing out there much, but that's okay. Okay. Frown. One, two, three, four, five. Now smile. One, two, three. Which was the hardest to do? It took more muscles. God designed us to smile, not to frown.
Amen.
Built in the body.